Bible Girl podcast. I'm Jessica Robinson, and I've gathered my Bible, my journal, some study tools, and highlighters in every color for study time. From the practical to the inspirational, I pray that these podcasts give you the tools and motivation to be a Bible girl too. Greetings and salutations. Welcome to today's podcast. We are continuing our Daily Grace series by talking about reflection. I hope you had a chance to listen to last week's episode where we talked about starting your day with intention, and I gave you a printable that you can use to help you do that called the Daily Docket. We're going to be talking about the back section of the Daily Docket today, specifically some things that we need to do to end our day well. And some of the things we're going to cover when we talk about some questions to ask are already on your daily docket, and you can use that to kind of to jumpstart you and get you into reflection. But it can go a little deeper than that, so I have some additional questions and a printable that I'm going to give you that will help you with that. But first, I would like to just kind of answer a question that you might have, and that is, you know, why is reflection important and why should I make time for it? I know there are some who don't like to journal because they often feel like they're just thinking about themselves all the time. And I get that. I get that that might be something that you find difficult. A lot of people, I've had people, women in Bible studies will tell me, why do they always ask these questions about my own life? Like, I don't want to sit there and think about all that stuff. And I hear that, and I guess that's a valid thing too. Sometimes it takes a little bit of time to dig down deep enough to be able to answer those kinds of questions. But a life without reflection, but without looking at what has happened and trying to put it in some form of framework or a frame of reference so that you can process what happened and move on to a new day, is really important. If we don't do that, we set ourselves up for a lot of problems. And I would encourage you to consider adding in some time of reflection. Maybe you can't do it every single day. Maybe this is something you do once a week at first and build up to the, more often. But I think it's certainly worth investing time in. I'm going to give you a couple of reasons as to why I think it's important, but I want to start out and let you know that this is an area of all the areas that we're going to talk about when it comes to spending time with God. This is the area that I struggle with the most. When I first started teaching women's Bible studies back in 2003, I guess, in the spring of 2003, I was writing it, the first one, and I was working on some material and reading and studying some things and working through discussion questions. And it kind of occurred to me that I didn't have all this stuff figured out. And I was really concerned and worried that maybe I shouldn't be teaching. And I started to get filled with this anxiety, like, well, I'm still learning these things myself, and how am I supposed to tell somebody else what to do when I haven't done it all the time? And that is a valid concern, because we certainly don't want people teaching who are willfully in disobedience to God and aren't following through on the things that they're teaching, and they don't, their lives don't reflect what God is teaching them. But I also think there's a huge difference between being willfully disobedient and rebellious and failing and trying again on the way, on the process of maturity. And if we waited for all of our teachers to reach full maturity, I don't think we'd have very many teachers. In fact, I don't think we'd have any, because once God has, the Bible tells us that God will not stop working in us and completing what he started in us at salvation until he calls us home. And so I think that it's important to keep in mind that all the people that are teaching you something are still learning and maturing and working through their own stuff. And I felt like if I was going to be able to do this, if I was going to be able to help women and share my story and teach what God is showing me, then I needed to be somewhat transparent in ways I can, in healthy ways, to show you that, you know, this isn't like I wasn't born with this ability to automatically, you know, study God's word and teach it to others. It's something that I'm growing in. It's something that I'm exercising my abilities and growing better at them and more consistent at them as time goes on. So I come to you and I say that this is the hardest area for me. This is difficult because this requires complete honesty. It requires you to really look at your life, and that can be difficult. It also requires you to be willing to own up to things that you're not doing well. And sometimes I try to avoid that. I try to stick with what I know I'm doing well and point that out to God and show him that great thing. But I'm not always ready to say, hey, I think this area is not going good, and I need your wisdom, I need your help, and I need to confess that I've messed it up because I didn't follow what you said. And that's something I think that we all need to be doing more of, and it's something that God has really been helping me grow in, but I am not there yet. Of all of the areas that we'll talk about in this grace book, this is the one that I resist the most. This is the one that I have to push myself or convince myself to do, even when oftentimes, I don't say that because it doesn't bless me. Oftentimes, I finish it and I'm so glad. I'm so glad I did it. And I say to myself, why in the world are you resisting this so greatly? The benefit is so great. And I think that's why. I think there's something inside of us, this sin nature that doesn't want to be confronted and will push against it. But when we do, we find there is great freedom and there is great peace and there is great grace with Christ. So the reasons we should reflect, here's why I think we all should push through and do this. It's often the only way we evaluate ourselves correctly with both grace and truth. And this is so important. I wish I could reach through this microphone and just hold your hand. You hold your face in my hands and just stare into your eyes and say, you know, grace and truth. You need both. And we are our own worst critics. We heap great judgment upon ourselves. Throughout the day, you will go from thinking you've got it all together to thinking you're a total mess. And you will constantly think badly about yourself, or when you mess up something, you'll view yourself as a failure. We have these running monologues in our head, and sometimes I've jokingly said mine is a loop that alternates between my mother, my grandmother, and my former pastor when I was a teenager, who was very legalistic and authoritarian, and I kind of have these three voices like spinning around in my head every time I fail. And you all have them. We have them. In fact, I think one of the biggest problems in our life is really being able to set aside the baggage of our past and the emotional scars that we carry from that and move on. And so in those moments during the day, you know, we look at ourselves and we condemn ourselves. And so this opportunity to come to God and to actually take a look at that situation that you might have condemned yourself about all morning and look at it realistically with the work of the Holy Spirit working in you and trying to determine, you know, where did I go off the rails? How did that happen? How can I do better tomorrow? And receive both his grace, knowing that he doesn't hold these things against you and that you're completely safe in his presence. And also truth, knowing that you can do better. You can grow in this area, that God is currently giving you the will and the power to do what he says, and there is hope for tomorrow. And you're not going to get that in those immediate moments when you're criticizing yourself during the day, the same way you would if you go to God in prayer and you talk over these things with him. And so I think this is the best way we have to really set aside that time to sit down and talk with God and receive his grace and his truth in the situations of your day. It's also an opportunity to reveal your whole self to God and receive his joyful pleasure as well as his compassionate correction. Some people live with a very negative spirit. Other people live with a very joyful spirit that thinks that everything is going great, even when there are great problems in their life. And in these two extremes, many of us live kind of somewhere in the middle. Never quite sure if we're measuring up, but pretty sure that, you know, we're doing okay. When it comes to time with God, the reflection is an opportunity for us to recognize the ways in which we are growing, to recognize that God is working in us and that we see it. And yet also it's an opportunity to receive some compassionate correction from our Savior, who has lived the human life and knows its difficulties and can help steer us in the right direction. It's the best way to gauge how well we are applying the truth we're learning. We are absorbers. We soak in Bible study. We soak in sermons and podcasts. We soak in good books. We take all of those things, but our application of them is lagging behind. And so this is an opportunity for us to kind of evaluate how we're doing when it comes to application. You'll see how that works here when I go through the questions that I have for you, and make a little more sense then. But it's certainly an opportunity for you to evaluate how well you're doing when it comes to putting into practice all of those things that God is showing you in His Word. The last reason I put down, and it's certainly not the last reason, but it's the last one we're talking about today, is how we remain in touch with our true selves. If we never stop to reflect, we will never have an accurate picture of our lives. We will constantly be living in the feeling of the moment, of how I feel about my life and my circumstances right now. So if I wake up in the morning and everyone in my house is happy and cheerful, and I get that great parking spot at work so that it's raining and I got that great parking spot right near the door, or I got to Starbucks and the person in front of me paid for my coffee, my boss calls me in the office to tell me how great I am, you know, then we feel pretty good about our lives. But if we woke up in the morning and all of our family was grumpy and the line at Starbucks was so long that we didn't have time to get coffee before work, and our boss has made a list of every failure we've made in the last 6 months, then we begin to think that our life is pretty terrible. The truth is that neither one of those things are indicative of your real life. They're just a good day, and they're just a really bad day. By sitting down and reflecting on the good and the bad, it gives you a more accurate picture of where you are in life and what your life is like. I often find that when I consistently do this, when I can consistently do this 4 or 5 nights a week, I find that I begin to have a better outlook on my future. It was a strange thing for me. I don't think that I quite connected that this is what it was from at first, but I began to notice that very quickly it comes back. If I skip it a while and I start to do this again, I notice that my outlook improves. I feel more confident about what God is doing. I feel, because I'm looking for where He's moving and I see the work that He's doing in me and in my circumstances, I'm more likely to trust Him when something uncertain comes up because I've seen Him all along. This act of reflection has really given me an accurate picture of what my life is and how I'm doing in that life with Christ. And so as a result, it makes me more hopeful and it gives me a better outlook of the future. Those are all some great reasons to spend some time in reflection. Now, how do we do that? I personally have a list of questions that I have been using as reflection. These questions were compiled from several different Bible studies over the years. There were certain questions that we were supposed to answer for different things or articles that I read, and I thought, boy, that's a great journal question. And I kind of put those, I keep a big database of questions that you can write about in your journal for when I need a good prompt. And I went through a couple of months ago and I pulled out all of the ones that I felt were really good questions to ask at the end of the day. And so that's how I came up with this. And I am going to go through the questions with you just very briefly, read them and explain anything that I think might need to be clarified. The first four questions have a kind of an opposite approach to them. So The first one would be, what moment from my day made me the most grateful? And then, like, the sub-question under that was, what moment from my day made me the least grateful? At what point in my day did I feel very grateful for what's happening in my life or what God is doing for me? At what point did I feel very ungrateful? Did I not feel gratitude? Did I feel discontent instead or something like that? The first four questions all follow this format, asking when was the high point and when was the low point. The second one is, what was the most life-giving part of the day? What did I do during the day that made me feel the most alive, that built into me, that gave me something nourishing? And then, what was the most life-draining part of my day? What part of my day just felt like it was sucking the soul out of me? Was there a part of my day that really drained me? And you can talk about that to God. The third one is, when did I feel a deep sense of connection to God today? You have those moments where something happens and you're reminded that God is with you in such a tangible way that you feel comforted and you feel loved and you know that right now in this moment, God is here with me. But there are also those moments, and that's the next part of the question, when did you feel the least connected to God? When did you feel like you were all alone? When did you feel like you were struggling in something and there was no one to help you? When did you forget that your Savior was attuned to you and connected to you and that His Spirit lives within you? When did you forget those moments? When what moment during the day were you the least aware of God's presence? And then the last kind of opposites question was, where did I feel discouraged and where did I feel encouraged? What happened today that really just set me down a path of being unhappy and discouraged? What thing perked me up? What person or what letter in the mail or what really cool text or what certain thing out there, what scripture verse that came to mind or a great worship song on the radio, what came into my day that helped me to be encouraged in the midst of my activities today? Those first four questions all kind of give you a look at the best and the worst and help you evaluate throughout your day today where you saw God and what He was up to and whether you were present and aware of what He was doing. The last three questions on the list are just some simple questions. They don't have an opposite kind of a thing. The first one is, where did I exhibit the fruit of the Spirit? Were there times today that I showed patience? Were there times today where I was able to hold my tongue and not say something that was unkind? Was I able to be loving towards someone else? Did I have moments where I felt the joy of the Lord? These fruit of the Spirit, these are things that are birthed in us as we grow and mature. This is how we know that we are maturing. This is how we know when it comes to our application of scripture. This is how we know that it's happening, because if we are taking what God is showing us in His word and we are living it out in our lives, we will automatically begin to see the fruit of the Spirit grow in abundance in us. We often get it wrong. I have a whole podcast on the fruit of the Spirit, and you should listen to it because I really think that it will help you. But just to give you a little overview, the fruit of the Spirit is not something that we go out and grit ourselves to do. We don't go out that morning with this idea that, okay, well, today is going to be a patience kind of day, and whatever happens, I'm just going to be patient. That's not exactly how that works. Gritting your teeth and just forcing yourself to behave in a certain way is not a long-term solution. It's a quick fix kind of thing that can get you through a rough day, but it's certainly not going to build patience within you. Patience is built in you when you begin to read and study God's word and the Holy Spirit prompts you to do something in a certain way and you obey. So instead of leaving your house with this idea that you're going to be patient all day, what will happen is one of your children will be on your last nerve and the Holy Spirit will whisper in your ear and He will say, you need to answer calmly. You need to extend grace. How about you tell them that you love them very much and give them a hug? These are things that the Holy Spirit will impress on you. And you do that, when you do that in the moment, you've exercised patience and you are growing and maturing in that area. Now, when you look back at your day and you ask yourself, where was I able to exhibit these things? Many times, because you're growing in that area, you don't even recognize that you are, because it wasn't a conscious thought. You didn't stop and deliberate whether you should be kind and loving to your two-year-old who's screaming your head off. What you did instead was immediately you just made the choice that said, I'm going to drop everything, go give her a hug, and we're going to go do something together. It was that opportunity that you took quickly without having to think about it that shows you're growing. And so the more we recognize, the more we look back and we see, hey, wait a minute, I responded great in that situation. The Holy Spirit is doing something in me. This is not an excuse to adopt an attitude that's prideful, that says, look how great I'm doing. No, what it is it's an opportunity to see God's promise at work, that He will work in you, giving you the will and the power to do His will, and that He will complete what He started in you. He will bring things to fruition. He will bring fruit in your life when you submit and surrender. And this is one of the ways that you see it when you ask this question and you say, where did I exhibit the fruits of the Spirit today? The next question is, where did I sin or fail today? This question is one that we probably all would like to skip over, but it's not a surprise to God. You don't need to tell Him about it in this time for Him to be aware of it. He knows. He saw it. It's good to get in the habit of talking to Him about those things. It is good to be able to say to Him, you know what, I really messed this up, and ask for His forgiveness. And He grants that graciously to us. He gives us fresh starts and new mercies. He gives us second chances that are boundless and in abundance of what we need. He will do that. We bring those things to Him so that we acknowledge that we know we messed up, that we failed, and that we want to do better. The act of confession implies with it, when it comes to confession in Scripture, is the idea that not only am I admitting that I did it wrong, but I'm admitting that I don't want to do it wrong anymore. I want to get it right. I want to do it better. I want to obey instead of disobey. I want to submit instead of rebel. That's the attitude of my heart. And though I may fail at this before I get it right, or I might get it right and then fail for a long time, I know that today, in this moment, I'm choosing the right thing, and I'm asking you to forgive me for the time I didn't earlier, and to give me the power to make the right choice tomorrow. This time can be a great blessing. It can also be difficult for many of us. Some of us that have grown up in very legalistic or exacting homes or environments as children often find facing our own shortcomings to be brutal. And if that is you, I want to encourage you to give it a try anyway and really try to set aside those voices in your head and listen for the still small voice of the Spirit who loves you, who has compassion on you, and who understands that we are dust. We are incapable of living the Christian life apart from Him, and He knows that. And so it's safe. It's safe to go and talk to Him. I want to do a podcast this fall, and I'm already working on a little bit of the outline for it, where I talk about how you can recognize the voice of the Spirit from the voice of condemnation. And there is one word, I think, that will help you. There is just one word. If you can just remember this one word, it will help you. And so that's what we're going to be talking a little bit about this fall. I have at least one podcast that we'll be doing on conviction of the Holy Spirit and condemnation from others, the world, and the voices in our head. So if this is a struggle for you, I encourage you to do this with the understanding that the Holy Spirit will speak in a loving way to you. Now, the last question is one that I love to ask, and this one probably, if this was the only question that I was asking as reflection, it would not be as difficult. But this last question is, where do I see God at work in my life or my circumstances today? Where did I see him? Where did I notice him? And I have that on your daily docket. There's a little section on the back page where it says, God sightings. This is your opportunity to say, hey, this is where God was. I saw this. I saw God move right here. Now, does this mean that God isn't there the other times or isn't moving? Of course not. He's always active and present. But we aren't always aware of his activity and his presence. And sometimes it's because we're not looking. And sometimes it's because it's not time yet. And other times it's because the things that God is doing in our lives are not for us to know yet. And so the opportunities that we do have to see, I think, are important to know. Where did I see God moving? Where was this thing I've been praying about for years and finally God provided it? Where is this area of my life that has felt so confusing and complicated, and all of a sudden I just got this burst of clarity and I know that God has been working in this and I saw it today. Where are those moments? And I feel like that's a great way to end your reflection time, is to really just ask yourself, where did I see God? What's he been up to? What is he doing? And that can be very encouraging for you to begin to see what he is doing and make note of it. Now, a couple just like little logistical things. I use these reflection questions in the evening, and I do not use all of them at the same time. I would encourage you to follow me on Instagram and watch this week. Probably Wednesday night, I'm thinking, I'm going to do a live video on Instagram, which would be, if you're listening to this, this would be August the 9th, where I'm going to explain to you exactly how I do this. And there are some additional things that I do with this at the same time. I'm going to go over all of that in the podcast. But just very briefly, you don't have to do all these questions. Some of this would take you a huge amount of time. The questions, the variety of questions, is just so that if you're like me and you get really bored easy, you can mix it up. So you can ask a couple of questions, or maybe one question and it's opposite each night, or just kind of mix things up a little bit. Maybe you want to just do all the questions one time and a longer time on the weekend. There's a lot of options. But in that video this week, I will be explaining how I do it. And I also will be posting that video to our Facebook group, the Bible Girl Podcast Facebook group. I'll be posting a copy of that after it airs on live on Instagram so that you can watch it. And that will give you a few ideas. I'll also be having some additional printables that will come out with some of the things that I'm going to be talking about in that video. And all of that will be on the Facebook page either late Wednesday night or sometime during the day on Thursday. Now, your printable for this week, I have the reflection questions, and I've done them up into kind of like a bookmark format. When you get the PDF and you download it, it'll be two pages. It's the exact same thing on both pages, other than the cut lines are a little bit wider on one copy. For those of you that want to punch holes in it and put it in your grace book and actually use it in the grace book, there are holes to punch. And for those who want to cut it out into a bookmark and maybe tuck it into a journal or put it into their Bible or something, there is a copy of it that's more centered, that doesn't have that extra margin. The reason I made it into this bookmark is so that those of you that are using it in a grace book, you can punch holes in it and you can just move it through your notebook. So let's say if you're going to write these answers out, some people may choose to do that. That bookmarker, you can just, each time you flip the page, you just move the bookmarker over, and then you just always have the questions right there, right next to you as you're working. And so that's why I chose to do it on a bookmarker. It was not really enough information to fill a whole page, and it fits nicely in that format. There are some printing instructions. I recommend printing on cardstock, and some other information that is on the paper when you download it. And once again, there is a color copy and there is a black and white copy for those who want to save some printer ink. So that stuff will all be available. It'd be in the newsletter, posted on the Facebook page. There will be both of those, the black and whites and both the A5 and letter size, will be in the Gracebook files. If you go to the podcast page and click on Gracebook in the right-hand sidebar, you'll go to a full look at all of the files that I've posted for the Gracebook, so you can follow along that way. And I'll also be posting it into my Pinterest board for Bible Girl Podcast that you can follow to download as well. Thank you for joining me on this series. Your enthusiasm on social media has been really a delight to me. I love to hear from you. I love to know what you're thinking and how you're using the materials. If you are in our Facebook group and have been using the Daily Docket, I would love for you to stop by and show me a picture. Someone posted one this morning and I got all excited because I love to see how you're using it and that it's something that is speaking to you. That really makes all of the work that I do on these things worthwhile, is just to know that people are being blessed by them and that God is using them in people's lives. Have a great week. We'll see you back here next week. We're going to talk about the value of scripture writing, and I'm going to share for all my podcast listeners a sneak peek at all the scripture writing lists that are coming up for the remainder of 2017. So you won't want to miss it. Have a great week. Thanks for listening. Go to BibleGirlPodcast.com to email me, download show notes, sign up for my newsletter, print the monthly scripture writing lists, and listen to past episodes. Join the Bible Girl Facebook group to get the latest podcast news and to interact with me and other listeners. I'm all over social media as Jessie L. Robinson. That's J-E-S-S-I-L Robinson. I'd love for you to friend or follow me. Join me again for another episode of Bible Girl.